back to the situation room. Olawale and I, we okay, let me put Olawale into the mix. Because Olawale will be like, no, I don't want to be put in the same corner with this nuisance. But then I 100% got my analysis wrong for the Celtic Miami Heat game 2 for yesterday. And this is the reason. Without trying to make a brief for myself, we thought as of the time that we did the recording, we thought Alpha was not going to be available. Marcus Stewart was a doubt as well. And I told Olawale that if Jenny Brown came to game 2 the way he did in game 1, there's no way they are going to win that game. But what we saw yesterday was 50 Cent's massacre. Like 50 Cent was just bringing back his A game of rap. I'm like, we saw a massacre. At the point, the Celtic Boston led by over 30 points. Who would have thought, Olawale? I'll start with you. Kachi was not here yesterday. So I'll start with you, Olawale.
Yeah, I think I wasn't surprised that the Celtics won the game. Probably the only surprise was the margin of the victory, and arguably the game was over by the end of the third quarter. If you take note, Jimmy Butler and I think Bam Adebayo, they didn't return for the fourth quarter because Eric Spoelstra probably just knew it was a waste of time, that there was no way they would probably rally around and probably just make it a bit of a game. So for the Boston Celtics, they played a perfect game. They moved the ball well. They made all their shots. And it wasn't just, yes, you could say it was something unusual because they shot like 51% from the field and 50% from the three. They attempted 40 threes and made 20. That is... Wow. You are not losing this kind of game. It's not possible because that is 60 points alone from the three. So kudos for them, but we have to give them their kudos because it wasn't just like they were lucky that the shots were going in. They were clean shots. They were open look, which means they were moving the ball well. They were giving up good shots for better shots. That's the way I can say it. They were very aggressive in the first quarter, in the second quarter. The return of Marcus Smart and Alford really made a big difference. Marcus Smart, you could see the energy. His energy has a way of rubbing on the other players for the Boston Celtics. He came in with it. It made it very difficult for Jimmy Butler, even though Jimmy Butler had a 29 points during the game. And for Alford, what Alpha probably gives the Miami, by what you call the Celtics, beyond the presence at the paint, he can stretch the floor. He's a big man who can play on the perimeter. So with that, he has a way of drawing Bam Adebayo away from the paint, which makes it easy for the likes of Jayson Tatum and Jaylen Brown to get easy basket at the paint. I think in summary, it was a perfect game for the Boston Celtics. It is now left for Miami Heat to figure out the adjustment they could make. For me, I think the Boston Celtics probably, whatever they did in this game, probably they might not be able to shoot 50% of the three going forward. But what they did in terms of trying to stop Miami is very sustainable. Because if you look at it, despite the fact that Jimmy Butler didn't play in the fourth quarter, he had 29 points, which means if Jimmy has actually played in the fourth quarter, he could actually get to the 41 points he recorded in the what do you call it, the first game, which means what they've been able to do successfully is what do you call it, to neutralize the other guys, So for me, Game 3 on Saturday will be very crucial. Celtics needs to want to continue from where they stop in Miami and probably establish a 2-1 lead going to the fourth game on Monday.
Okay, all right, perfect. Thank you very much for that. Kachi, so basically, game 1, the Miami Heat did not start off well in game 1. They did a 22-0, if I'm not wrong, or 22-2 in the third quarter, cutting down the 10-point lead, building another 10-point lead or 12-point lead on the Boston Celtics. And in the fourth quarter, it wasn't like Celtics were bad. I think Celtics actually won the fourth quarter as well. They won the first two quarters, won the last quarter. But you could see discrepancies, the differences, the gap of difference between how they were able to stop. But of course, they were missing their big guys on that day. Going to the third game three right now, and we're seeing all things being equal. Okay, I have a question though. Olale, is Kyle Lowry going to be available for game three?
We're not sure, but
it's a game time decision.
Oh, sure. Yeah, it's a game time decision. Okay, which means you might likely be available.
Okay, so Kachi, if Kyle Lowry is going to be available for game three, so that means the Heat have an extra hand to help them. An extra leg that can help them and help them successfully. Do you think the Boston Celtics will be able to reenact what they did in game two? It was successful. The guys gave an account of themselves. The burden was not on Jason Tatum at all in any form or fashion. Do you think they'll be able to repeat that? And do you think Celtics have the psychological edge right now?
Thanks, Debo. I need to point out something that I thought significantly changed the game, or two things rather. The first is the decision by Coach Udoka to go small ball after the initial onslaught of the Miami Heat in the first quarter, where they led by as much as, I think, 8 or 10 points before the Celtics caught fire. They realized that Robert Williams, their center, was struggling big time. And what they did was to swap Robert Williams for Grant Williams, and they played small ball. Pretty much the only big man they had was Al Horford. And they surrounded Horford with shooters, so to speak. And I think that is pretty much what the Heat can do, or rather when I get to my second point. But I thought that was a significant thing. Immediately, the Celtics started having open shots for their threes. Now, Olawale has said it. It is highly unlikely, at least in the very next game, not in the series, for the Celtics to shoot
50%
and to get as much success as they got shooting the threes as they got in game two. But the second thing that I thought made the Celtics a lot more successful was Tatum stopped bringing the ball from the backcourt like he did in game one. They had that responsibility to Marcus Smart to dictate things. And I think that's what Kyle Lowry would do in making Jimmy Butler not bring the ball up forward, you know, and allow Jimmy Butler position himself to do more damage upward in the court than from the backcourt. I know the person that whose minutes would suffer the most would most likely be the young man who's resurrecting his career now. Victor Oladipo, and maybe slightly Gabe Vincent, right? But to your point, will it be replicable? Probably not. However, because of the caliber of teams the Celtics have defeated, and one very interesting statistics, the Celtics are 6-0 in these playoffs whenever Jason Tatum shoots 50% or above. Sure. So, as long as they have a good point guard in Marcus Smart to bring up the ball and make Jason just a shooter
and not a facilitator,
and play two-way defense, which Kyle Lowry would probably do, and maybe the Heat also make PJ Tucker defend more than go look for baskets more. Because it was so funny. The first three baskets the Heat made yesterday were from PJ Tucker.
Yeah.
I thought, immediately I saw that, I was like, what kind of strategy is this? PJ Tucker is really not much of a shooter, you know? So there is a lot of stuff the Heat can do to touch up and change. But I think the Celtics are battle tested. They've not lost two consecutive games. You must also say, apart from the Brooklyn Nets series, they've also not won two consecutive games. So in this case, if we use the sample size of the Milwaukee Bucks game, the Milwaukee Bucks series, where no team won back-to-back games. It looks like it will boil down to who.
Oh, Kashi, the one game 6 and 7 are back to back. 6-7.
Okay, back to back. Okay, I want to call game 6, game 7.
The decider.
I really don't want to call game 7.
Okay, I understand what you're saying.
I don't want to call game 7 a back to back. Game 7 was winner take
decider.
All.
Yeah.
Winner take all, right?
Understand.
All I'm trying to say is if this game gets to game 7 and the fact that no team before game 7 was winning consecutive games, mm-hmm. we might get an interesting series. But back to your point, the Celtics are battle tested. Ime Udoka's adjustment, I'm beginning to wonder, how was he hidden so long as a national team coach that nobody thought to bring him and make him a first team coach for such a long time? Hmm. His adjustment. Because, yes, Robert Williams enjoyed success in game 1. He wasn't really getting a lot of joy in game 2. They switched small ball, and it worked.
And it changed the whole game.
It was spontaneous. But the thing is, the Heat can also play small ball. Ultimately, it will come to who gets more joy in terms of three points made from the three-point line, and also who gets more physical. But we said it in the first time 2 days ago that if the Celtics have both Horford and Smart, you can't bet against them. In one game, they proved us right. I didn't finish the game. I have to confess to the viewers and listeners. The first half gap was about 23 points. And I just called them. I looked at my little boy who wanted daddy to come to bed. And I said, yeah, with a 23-point gap,
nothing's going to happen.
Surprised. And when I woke up in the middle of the night and I checked the score line and I saw 127-100, I said, of course, they did not do it.
That 127-100 is flat range. Honestly, it does not tell you the true picture of what happened.
So back to your point, the secret was letting Marcus Smart bring the ball up. Maybe the Heat will replicate that in using Kyle Lowry to bring the ball forward, allowing Jason Tatum to be a pure shooter and a defender. Maybe Kyle Lowry and PJ Tucker would replicate that for the Heat. But game 3, I really cannot rule out the Heat splitting a game in Boston. I'm not saying it will, but they are too good a team. I mean, they have the best records in the East. They are not like Phoenix Suns who cannot defend. Phoenix Suns is like the Brazil of 1982 with Zico and Socrates, that they will tell you, we cannot defend, but we will outscore you. And when they meet a great defensive team like Italy that had their Paolo Rossi in front and some mean defenders at the back, they could not do anything. I don't think the Heat are like that 1982 Brazil team. I think Eric Spoelstra is too
smart
to make the same mistake he made in game 2.
But for me, before we leave this game, I think they are alike. Just looking at, I think my own problem with the Miami Heat is this. They don't have too much of dependable scorers.
After
Jimmy Butler, who else again? Yes, the other guys share.
Duncan Robinson and Tyler Hero must come to the party.
Those guys are not dependable guys. I understand Tyler Hero to an extent. Duncan Robinson has not been who he, I think, all through the season, he has been off and there'll be a lot of questions. And I think his contract is actually something very considerable.
Yes.
Yeah. So I think for me, the major thing for the when you get very deep into the series like this, look, just check the past NBA, the NBA winners. Probably bad, what you call it, the Detroit Pistons of 2004. The one with Rashad Wallace, what's the name of the Chauncey? That beat the Lakers in 2000. I think it was 2004.
The bad boy Pistons, okay?
Yeah, most NBA teams I mean the ones that probably ends up winning the championship. You need to have two dependable scorers that your go-to guys. You know they will average 25 points in a series.
So, Olale, based on what you have said now, how will you see a scenario where the backcourt is Oladipo and Kyle Lowry, and front court is Bam Adebayo, Jimmy Butler, PJ Tucker?
Well, for me, that looks very scary on paper, but I think we're using, what do you call it, past glory for this is a guy that was almost considering retiring. He's just trying to get, himself. Do you think you can get 2-3 consecutive good games from Victor Oladipo? For me, I just think the Celtics is going to win game three. They have the momentum.
I think
should be focusing on getting game four, not game three.
I'm going to help you both out, and this is my own view about it. For game three, I go 100% with Olale. Unless something drastic happens to the Boston Celtics, and they play as poorly as they did in third quarter. Don't forget, see, it looks like we are taking a sight of what happened in game one. Game one, it wasn't like the Heat played very well. They just killed the Boston in the third quarter. That's all they did.
Exactly. We've had 8 quarters so far in this series. And the Boston Celtics are probably the better team in 7 out of the 8 quarters.
Do you understand, Kachi? So, unless they play as poorly as they did in third quarter of game one, bros, I don't see any of Miami
Heat. So this is my take. Yep. My take is this. And I'm going back to the first round of the playoffs, the Nets and the Celtics,
mm-hmm.
where a team that does not even have the same defensive nuke that the Miami Heat has,
mm-hmm.
went toe-to-toe with the Celtics. All 4 games were decided in the last minute, right?
Mm-hmm.
The Celtics only brushed up, pretty much, in my own opinion, they brushed up their defense playing against the big men in Milwaukee Bucks. So if they both go with small lineups, that's all I'm saying.
Okay.
If both teams go with small, because in all this thing I've called now, I'm assuming only Al Horford, they retain Al Horford, and Robert Williams just comes in and does not start. And only Bam Adebayo, which is the only big man they have anyway, and only Bam Adebayo as the big. And they both go small ball. And when, because in the 76ers series, Oladipo got hot in game three. He got really hot. He got as much as 22, 23 points in game three. I'm not saying you need Oladipo to be hot in this series. I'm saying in one game.
Okay.
And let that one game be game three. Okay. Because it's an unknown quantity. So not that his past antecedents are known, but right now, nobody expects you to start the game with Victor Oladipo. That's all I'm saying. And he facilitates with Kyle Lowry. Because Kyle Lowry is not a shooter, he's a facilitator. He's not going to give you 25 points every night, right?
Okay.
I still give the 7-game series to the Celtics. I've told you this before, that the winner of the Bucks-Celtics game, I'm tipping them for the championship.
All right.
I still think it's the Celtics. But for this game to go to 7 games,
perfect.
The Heat have to win game 3. That's all I'm saying.
Nice one, Kachi. Thank you very much for that. Olale, I don't know. I don't want to dwell so much on the game between the Mavs and the Golden State Warriors tonight. Honestly, I don't want to talk about it too much unless the Mavs are bringing something extraordinary. like we projected.
They will bring two Luka Doncic. They have got to kill Luka
Doncic. Unless they bring something so drastic, I wouldn't want to count so much on them, right? But in a quick 20 seconds, tell me what you think is going to happen tonight. Quick 20 seconds.
I think probably we've all not learned our lesson from what has happened in the past two rounds. Don't write off the Dallas Mavericks. They look like a team that everybody looks like, nah, this and this, this and that. Don't be surprised. You might witness greatness this night on a Friday night.
Okay. But Adonji
is going to touch the Golden State Warriors where they don't like them.
I think
that they are splitting the series today. I think they are going to play better. I think the supporting cast are going to probably enjoy more success shooting. I think Luka Doncic will figure out the Golden State Warriors. The Golden State Warriors, with all due respect to them, I think for me, I think they are the favorite to probably win the championship, but they are not as scary as the Golden State of
2017.
That's the PKD era. They are not as scary as that. They look very beatable. When you watch them, you probably have like one or two games that you think the Golden State Warriors on their own will lose the game. So I think this night is one of those nights that will witness greatness of who Luka Doncic is. It has nothing to do with any analysis, just a matter of greatness coming to.
We know Luka will always be great. I thought what you would have said is tonight is the night where his supporting cast.
Of course. Like I said, the problem they had in the first match was, in the first game was, they live and die by a three. They were not really moving the ball. Their offense was too static. I think this game, I expect them to move the ball better. I expect those guys to probably shoot a bit better. Defensively, I think they will probably find a way to slow down the Golden State Warriors' motion offense. And like you rightly say, before the first game, you made mention of if they can probably get a bit of minutes out of Boban.
Yeah.
I don't know how much it could probably alter the system they like to play, but I think they need somebody to give a bit of problem at the paint.
I totally agree. Somebody, there has to be a body on Draymond, because what the Warriors did was to put bodies on Luka, but because they were not moving the ball a lot and they were always looking to kick it out and shoot threes, they did not take advantage. I don't think that logic or that game plan would work again now. He's going to have really mobile players or supporting cast around him. If they are going to put two bodies on him, Clay and Draymond, Jordan Poole and Draymond, or whoever, that means there's a mismatch somewhere.
Somewhere, yes. You know? I think, like you rightly said, if they are double team on Luka.
Luka, yeah.
I think it's not a factor of if those guys can quickly, they can very aggressively on. If the supporting cast dispenser, they start making the threes, I'm sure the Golden State Warriors probably will consider double teaming, what you call it. So it depends on, I think, like you rightly said, everything depends on the supporting cast on what they do on the night.
Great. Thank you so much. Another great game to watch. But just before we go, Olale, I really want to get your take on the embarrassing events that happened at the Goodison Park, where Everton left it late to secure to extend their 68-year stay in the top flight of English football. But what I want to talk about beyond the game itself was the shameful act of fans. Just a few days ago, we saw what happened to the captain of Sheffield United, where he was attacked by a stupid fan who ultimately has been given a 24-month prison sentence. Now, Patrick Vieira, whose team, Crystal Palace, lost the game against Everton, was goaded and teased until he lashed out at a very stupid fan and he had to kick him. Yes, there has been people in the British media who have come out correctly to condemn that act. But somebody said, and I think I can call his name, Davos said, I should watch out that Patrick Vieira will be fined by the FA. I want to get your take on it because I think it's shameful for this to happen two times. A game such as that, why was no security provided for the opposing team coach? And why did he have to walk 80 yards to where the dressing room was to face the wrath of those fans? I know I'm complaining, but I really want to get your take before we leave.
Well, I think it's a grave offense when fans invade the pitch. When it's very clearly stated in the film. In fact, like some people were even suggesting, Everton could be lucky to get away with the point deduction. It is something that cost some teams point deduction in the past, but I don't think the Premier League will do that. I think probably sentimentally, but most people just want Everton to survive relegation for one reason or the other. Probably they are a historical club. They had a Frank Lampard, who I think his career would have been over if Everton were relegated at the end of the season. But what happened yesterday was one of those events. Like, it was just something, emotions were running high. There were two goals down. It happens once in a while. We saw it at the Etihad Stadium when City won the league in 2012, virtually with the last kick of the game. We saw how the fans... So, I think it was something more of an impulse. I mean, look at the way the stadium is, the way... probably because of what has happened in the past, the Ibrox case, and some other cases like that. If you see, there's hardly any perimeter fence in front of the fans. This is to allow fans, probably if in case there's any stampede on the stand, this allows the fans to probably move into the pitch. I think it's left from the path. So that was why, if for the past 20 something years, you could see that the fans are very close to the pitch. That's the way they design most of the Premier League, what do you call it? So, and that numbers, you can hardly blame the securities. They were already outnumbered. And let me tell you another thing. Some of those securities were even carried away. Because, of course, I'm sure most of them are Everton supporters. It doesn't look good, but I think it was not something that will always happen. That will happen probably every other day or every day. It's just a one-time event because the fans thought they were going to get relegated. They were two goals down. Coming back, I think everybody just lost their senses and just ran to the field to celebrate. Of course, you expect the FA to come with some bit of fines, warning, I think, on the part of the other team. For me, I think they will not... I'm not sure they are going to fine Patrick Vieira for this because... His safety at that point was even under threat.
Yeah.
With fans like that yelling at him, following up to getting. I think where the security probably got his goal completely was not being able to provide security for him getting to the dressing room. Because I think I spotted when that action happened on the pitch, that was a point. In fact, immediately the fans ran into the pitch, what the first security should have done was to probably get all the opposing team players out of the pitch.
Yeah.
I think they didn't do their own job when it comes to that particular point. Even though you can't control such number of fans, you can't resist them from coming. There's no way you can do that. But you have a duty at least to protect the players, most especially the opposing players who have just lost the game. So I think the FA will come up with some fast sanctions. I don't think there will be a point deduction. There could be fines. I'm warning to Everton Football Club, but I don't think they'll probably find Patrick Vieira for this.
Thank you so much, Olale, for that in-depth analysis. I personally want them to go look at college football in America every time fans always invade the pitch, but every time coaches and players have security surrounding them. That this is all we'll have the time to cover today. Guys, sit back, relax, enjoy game two of the Western Conference Final, and we'll be here, if not tomorrow, but over the weekend to dissect events and tell you all about it. On behalf of myself and Olawale and Debo, this is Ora Kukachi signing out. Bye-bye.